Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you.
Kia ora koutou. Hello everybody. Ko Shane Henderson tōku ingoa. I'm Shane Henderson. I'm the chair of the Henderson Massey local board and elected under the Labour Party banner, and welcome to Red Alert Radio for this instalment. So I've been called up off the bench, so this could be pretty exciting for me. It's my first time, so I hope you do enjoy it. So today we're going to be talking about a few things, and I've got my extreme left-wing agenda here in front of me. We're going to talk about that poll result, that exciting poll result from One News' Colmar Brunton. We're going to talk about the National Party leadership contest, and then we're going to go down to probably where my area of expertise is, which is local government. And we've had some very exciting by-election results that I just can't wait to talk about. And if we do get time, we've got a few other local government issues which are really fun and cool to talk about as well that I'll just bring up. But without further ado, let's bring up the fact that Labor have now pulled ahead of National in the polls, 48% to 43% recently. And that's really, really exciting. You could probably hear the champagne corks going off all over the country, I'm sure. It really is an endorsement of Jacinda Ardern's leadership, and also probably says quite a bit about the state of the National Party at the moment in terms of their leadership contest. Now, part of that poll result that came through was during after Bill English announced his resignation, and part of it wasn't. So we'll see over the next few months how this is going to play out. Now, let's talk about that National Party leadership contest. And we have five MPs that have put their names forward already. This is quite an interesting thing. Usually in a lot of leadership contests, there's one natural successor or maybe two. Sometimes in the case of the Labor Party, even three. But we have five at the moment. And we do have to kind of wonder whether there's going to be maybe 50 other names putting their head into the ring. We haven't had that just yet, but it might be worth watching to see if the leadership really does need maybe two votes rather than 20 votes to succeed. So I'll just kind of talk you through the five people that have put their names up so far. And we have Stephen Joyce as one of them. He is the most recent to announce, and he got into Parliament in 2008 off the list. Now, an interesting thing about Stephen Joyce is that he's actually never won an electorate seat, which is quite an interesting position for a party that does quite like the first-past-the-post voting system. He actually hasn't put his name up and won anything just yet. We've also got Simon Bridges, who also entered in 2008 in the seat of Tauranga. And here's an interesting fact. Of the five contenders, there is only one MP that is currently holding a seat that was once held by the Labor Party, and that is Tauranga. We have, in fact, won that party. We've won that seat in 1935, and we held that for one term. So if you are really interested in your pub quizzes, maybe you might want to think about that. But Simon Bridges probably wasn't in that election, so we don't quite know about his battle hardness, but sure to dispatch the opposition in the last few elections there in Tauranga. We have Judith Collins, who has been the MP for Clevedon and then Papakura since 2002. So she is the most experienced of the bunch, 16 years parliamentary experience, which should hold her in good stead. Now, I'm sort of preaching to the choir here, but she does have a unique advantage over these five names, I think, is that she is quite fierce and she really plays off that quite a lot. And that is quite a big contrast to Jacinda Ardern and her style. So of the five, that might be something to look at. We have Mark Mitchell, who was the MP for Rodney since 2011, a very controversial selection and then election there. But he has served up there in the north for now 7 years, and really a who's that of New Zealand politics, I understand. Now, my research through Amy Adams was clouded quite a bit by her name. Apparently she shares a name with a film actress that's done a lot of movie and TV work. I can actually empathise with that. Being Shane Henderson, I have someone who was in a band and was reasonably famous, and so you can't really find me anywhere, which is all good. And people like Amy Adams make fun of my name quite a lot, so I do empathise with her, and maybe that's why she's my pick to win this this vote. She's been the MP for Selwyn since 2008, which is another true blue seat there in Christchurch. So five leaders there, and whoever comes through, I mean, this is quite hard to predict. If you can predict this accurately, you really are going well. For the last couple of years, I've actually predicted Simon Bridges to be the next leader, even before Bill English. Since then, I've been very impressed by Amy Adams and her grasp of some of the policy around this kind of stuff, and also been enticed by Judith Collins and her mongrel and the brand that she plays off there. So between Stephen Joyce and Mark Mitchell as well, who I also predict, I think all five of them, one of them will win, and I will be able to claim that I have predicted the winner, which is very good. But no, in all seriousness, I think Simon Bridges is probably the front runner there, but it's hard to predict, I'd say. And it really depends on where that party wants to go. If they want to go in more of a hard right, more of a conservative area, then maybe Collins. And if they don't want to do that, maybe someone like Adams might be a person. And she actually did bring a bunch of MPs to her announcement, which was quite a big thing too. I've got no word as to who's leading that vote, but it's all going to happen in about a week or so. So this is quite an interesting thing, interesting development there. Now, that's the National Party leadership contest. We'll move on to something a little bit closer to home now. I've got great news for you guys. The Auckland Council by-election results have come out, and they really do make some really interesting reading. Now, to take you through kind of the background, there were three seats up for grabs in the recent by-elections, one of them a councillor seat and two of them for local boards. Now, the councillor seat is for the Maunga Kia Kia Tāmaki electorate, which comprises of places like Glen Innes and Oneahunga and Mount Wellington, Pāmua, those kind of surrounds. And traditionally a really swing seat on council. Now, back in the take you through the history of this a little bit. A very, very popular man by the name of Richard Northey held that seat in 2010. And in a really classic election, a really big fight in 2013, Denise Crum of Auckland Future, the National Party line ticket, won that by about 900 votes in 2013 and took that off the Labour Party. That's a big blow. And Richard ran a fantastic campaign as well. In 2016, Denise Crum increased her majority quite a lot, 4,500 votes. So she was hugely ahead there. And again, despite what I thought was a really good campaign. So it's a seat that the National Party and the Labour Party really prize a lot. They really want to win that one. And so, as many of us know, Denise Crum has moved on to become a Member of Parliament, and this means there was a by-election, and there were just two names in this by-election, Josephine Bartley for Labour and Josh Bedell, who was endorsed by Auckland Future and Communities and Residents, which are both National Party aligned tickets. Another classic battle, this one, it's safe to say. But after all of that, with a majority of around 1,600 votes, we have our first Pacific woman elected to Auckland Council, and it is Jo Bartley of the Labour Party. Now, that is very, very exciting, and I'm a bit biased because Jo's a good personal friend of mine, but I think she'll do a great job there. So she won with 7,225 votes, and that's fantastic. She was previously the local board chair in Maunga Kia Kia Tāmaki on that local board, so this means another by-election, which is would be the fourth one of the year, and we've got another one in Waitakere Ranges as well. So if you like by-elections and you like voting, then this is your time. So the media around Jo Bartley and the selection have been really fantastic. There's been so many kind words out there in the press for Jo and her campaign. And I went along to the party, and that was really fantastic as well. And I'm sure we're all very well behaved, of course. But congratulations, Jo. That's fantastic. And we were hoping to get her on the show today, but she's getting ready for her councillor duties. And also, I was too slack to get the scheduling properly done, so probably some fault on both sides there, actually, I reckon. But she'll be a great councillor, and I can't wait to work with her as in local government myself. Another by-election, a bit of a theme for this show, was the Waitemata Local Board by-election, which is basically the central city area. Now, because it is the central city, it generally tends to be one of the most followed elections. It's one of the local boards that are the most high-profile, kind of like Epsom in central government. And the City Vision ticket, which is Labor, Greens and Friendly Community Independents, have held that board for 5-2. Now, one of their incumbent local board members has moved on, I believe has business interests, and so has resigned from that board, and there was a by-election. So Denise Roche stood for this seat, who was a Green MP for a number of years, and prior to that was actually a councillor in the Auckland City Council, and she stood against Greg Moyle, who was the predominant centre-right member. Now, by a majority of about 250, so it's a bit of a tight one, but Denise Roche has won that election. So congratulations, Denise. That is fantastic. And once again, a really good campaign centred around green issues, environmental issues, and a lot of issues around the central city, like transport, that people really, really care about. So it's a really a ringing endorsement for that campaign. What is interesting is that there was three community independents as well that got over 1,000 each, so it was a really, really split vote, and it would have been quite a tense little atmosphere waiting for those votes to come in. But really, we never really worried about it, and I don't know if Denise really worried about it, but she might have done, but I think she's done great and ran a great campaign and got the results. So Waitemata Local Board, now 6-1. For City Vision. So that's really great. That's a further mandate to do more progressive policy work around cycling and walking, public transport, that kind of cool stuff. The final by-election is something very close to my heart because I was actually the campaign manager, and that was for the Manurewa Local Board. Now, unfortunately, I don't have so much good news there. The Labor Party candidate was Brooke Loader. She was up against the Manurewa Action Team candidate called Dave Bazzini, which has links with various National Party, New Zealand First, those kind of figures. So that went through as a result of Simeon Brown, who was on the local board, becoming the MP for Pakuranga. So there was a by-election there. Now, interestingly for Manurewa, Labor have never held a seat in local government there as a branded ticket. And the Manurewa Action Team have gone 6-2, 8-0, 8-0. So that's a battle. That's a hard one. And so with that fight in mind, Brooke Loader was selected and really, really worked hard. I think it was probably out of the 8 campaigns that I've been involved in the hardest working one yet. Including my own couple of campaigns. And lots of door knocking, thousands of doors, thousands of phone calls, deliveries in the pouring down rain, billboards going up all over the place, a lot of them getting stolen, that kind of thing. It really did suspend our lives for about 4 months on that one. And so we are proud of that campaign, but unfortunately we didn't quite get the result. We didn't quite go over the line there. Dave Pizzini got 5,000 votes, and Brooke got around 3,500. So given the history of that seat, it's still a very strong result. In fact, it's the strongest result that Labor have ever had. But unfortunately we didn't quite get the chocolates. So after a couple of days of reflection and feeling a bit sorry for ourselves, we're actually woke up today feeling great and ready to take it on. It does seem like a really good foundation to build on there, and really something that future Labor Party tickets can really fight for. It really does show that you can get the votes, you can go and get the wins. So in 2019, just watch that space. So it was a very interesting by-election, actually, and I'll just talk in a little bit more depth about that, just because I worked on that campaign and really, I just found Manurewa a fascinating place and an awesome place to campaign, really nice people. but a lot of issues out there and a lot of really good stuff that the Labor Party ran on. So with the area, it is a very diverse area, so it is mainly a safe Labor vote, and it's something that in the parliamentary election we've certainly won quite well out there as well. But in the local government area, it does take in some areas that tend towards the National Party a bit more, so it's a little bit more of an area that's a bit more challenging to campaign in. And it was kind of confounded by the fact that the turnout was rather low. It ended up being around 19%, which is a solid nearly 10% lower than what it usually is at around 28. And so those kind of votes there, we do believe that if they did turn out, that most of them may have come our way and we might have had a different result. But be that as it may, it is a summer by-election with a lot of holidays and all the rest of it. But be that as it may, we do what we can do. So the policies that Brooke ran on were the basically revitalising the town centre in Manurewa, which, to be honest, is looking a little shabby. And it's an issue that I personally know very well because in my own seat, in my own electorate, we do have the same issues that we're working on right now and hoping to get some good results. And Brooke was really, really inspired by some of the work that's going on across Auckland, and particularly with our various local government people, to revitalise their own town centres. And she wished that Manurewa could have its turn, and maybe it will in the future. Brooke also really cares about the natural environment in Manurewa. Now, this is an inspiring story. There is a suburb called Hill Park in Manurewa with a beautiful natural environment. There are trees everywhere, a lot of scheduled and protected trees as well. It is probably one of the best neighbourhoods to walk in Auckland. And it kind of runs against the sort of some of the negative stereotype and stuff that you get out there around that sort of community, unfortunately. I do recommend actually going and seeing Hill Park. It's a beautiful place. And it's also where Brooke grew up. But she wanted to protect the natural environment there. And the inspiring part of that story is that Hill Park residents themselves went through a lot of trouble through the unitary plan and through council to actually have their area protected. It's got a special protection over it that's unique in its kind in Auckland to preserve that beautiful area for future generations. Brooke says that's great, and how can we build on that and how can we support it? So that was another campaign plank. There are two more. Another one is an area called Mountfit Park, which is a beautiful park. It's this huge, huge place where a lot of sports goes on. There's a pool attached to it. It really is kind of the recreation centre of Manurewa. It's where everybody goes to have fun, goes to meet each other and spend time with their family and all the rest of it. Unfortunately, there's areas of that park with stock fencing that's falling over, kind of fencing that's really not up to standard in Auckland, and it really does just look unloved at times. Things like paths and things like exercise equipment in the park, that kind of thing. Brooke's policy was to get the residents around to basically redesign their park and to make it look nice and to really invest in it. And the final policy is very dear to the Labor Party's heart, to Brooke's heart, and to that community, and that's housing. As part of the campaign, we ran a housing public meeting in Manurewa in the Methodist Church there, which is a reasonably famous place around this kaupapa. And it was a full house, packed attendance. We had the local MP, Lewis Awall, there, and we had the Minister of Housing, Phil Twyford, there as well. And we really thank both of those people for their help in this campaign and also in this meeting as well. Packed house and full of people that really love their community and people that were homeless and people that really needed the help and the housing as well. And so Brooke gave quite an inspiring speech there, I felt. And basically that area needs people to put their hand up and say, we know the Labor Party are really interested in looking at more housing and to get people off the streets and into really safe environments. What about our community? What about us too? And particularly with that town centre needing a lot of redevelopment, there's some wins there where we can look at apartments and shops underneath, that kind of stuff. It's in fact the kind of stuff that I'm trying to drive with my community out in the West as well. And so that was the plan. Now, those plans aren't over. Very much interested in continuing to fight for those plans and continuing to work with that community and really give them a voice. So that is Brooke's focus now at the moment. The other interesting part of that election was that there were three independents as well, and unfortunately for them, they ran really fantastic campaigns and we acknowledge them, but their votes didn't really hold up as much as we would have liked in terms of keeping that vote so that Brooke may have gone over the top and got the win. That's a shame, and it's a shame for them as well because they're really great and we worked with them during the community through the campaign, and they were really great. So just the final word on that is to congratulate Dave Pizzini for his win. Throughout the campaign trail, we bumped into him a bunch of times, and you know, although sometimes we disagree on some of the policies and some of the politics, we can acknowledge him as a really great guy and someone that really cares for their community, and there's a certain respect, I think, that should go to everybody that puts their hand up for the sometimes brutal process of elections. So we congratulate Dave, and we congratulate everybody else as well that weren't successful, both in that one and in the other by-election results, because like we said, we understand how that feels to come up short. And, you know, that sucks. So good on them for trying, and hope we may see some of you again as well. But that was Manurewa. It was a fantastic campaign, and I thought Brooke could be very proud of herself for what she's done, and there's some definite things to build on there, so watch that space. Now, there are a few other local government issues that are quite cool that I'll just briefly touch on in our time left. At the moment, just the other day, the governing body of Auckland Council, in a full unanimous vote, passed a motion to close the Waitakere Ranges and respect that rahui that was put on by Te Kawara Māki. Now, just a brief background on this issue is that many of the trees in the Waitakere Ranges are kauri, and a lot of that kauri is subject to kauri dieback, which is a disease which eventually kills off the tree. Now, this is a huge threat to people's wairua in West Auckland, their enjoyment and quality of life. It's obviously a threat to the local economy, and of course to the beautiful natural environment that makes the West what it is and really contributes to Auckland and New Zealand. So the stakes couldn't have been higher, unfortunately. And this issue has been worked on for a number of years, and we have to thank the Tree Council, Mels Barton. We have to thank Te Kawara Māki, who looked at the situation and said, actually, we're just going to do it. If you want to close the ranges, we've just got to do it, and we're going to get out there, we're going to front up, and we're going to impose the sarahui and say we've got to close the ranges. That takes a hell of a lot of guts, and so we acknowledge them so much. I want to thank the Waitakere Ranges Local Board for their advocacy. They also put themselves in the firing line on this issue. And there are a lot of wide-ranging opinions around this. And also, of course, the councillors to pass this motion to do what was right, which is to close the ranges and allow the kauri to regenerate so that future generations and hopefully our generation can enjoy it as well. As someone who's an avid hiker, not to mention, of course, a very proud Westie, it's certainly something that affects me very deeply. So I'm really happy that we're at least preserving this for the future. And on that note, we're also looking at the long-term plan through council, which is a 10-year plan, to look at what needs to be done here in Auckland. One of the proposals for that plan is to have a targeted rate, so an extra rate on top of your rates bill, for environmental issues and environmental protection. It's a recognition that things are degrading around Auckland, and particularly with Cody Dieback, which is desperate for funding to try and reverse the slide into oblivion. I would encourage all Aucklanders to submit on that plan, and you can do that through shapeauckland.co.nz. That's shapeauckland.co.nz. And in my opinion, I believe you should be looking at supporting that environmental targeted rate. simply so that we can preserve our natural environment and protect what's really important in our lives, and for our future generations, of course, as well. So that submission period is the 28th of February to the 28th of March, so you've got about a month. I'd suggest that you submit yourself. You talk to your neighbours, you talk to your friends, any kind of groups you work with. I think you should have your say on the future of Auckland, no matter what it is. I think it's really important. And also, there's a bunch of other proposals in there. We probably don't have time to talk about all of them in depth. But it does talk about things like your rates strike as well. There's a proposal for a 2.5 rate increase for the first 2 years, and then 3.5 thereafter. You can submit and say that's too much or that's not enough. And I'd probably guide you to think about whether you feel Auckland needs investment, whether you think that we're falling behind, or whether you think we're happy with our lot in life in the city. And just finally, there's one more piece of work going through council, which I think is really awesome and really exciting, and that's the representation review. So every 6 years, each council has to look at its, what they say, representation arrangements. So in other words, where do you draw the boundaries on your electorates? How many members of council are you electing? And all that other kind of stuff. So we're currently looking at that at the moment. Quite a complex thing because through central government legislation passed by the previous government, Auckland Council cannot have more than 20 city councillors. That's a bit of a problem because if we are looking at Māori wards, and I think we should, then that's got to come from somewhere. It would mean an extra one or two or whatever Māori ward councillors would mean much less for the rest of the city, and all the boundaries would have to get redrawn, and it may result in less representation. So one of the things we're lobbying is to give council the power to actually increase its number of councillors so that we can maintain great representation for everybody, and also looking at Māori ward councillors as well, which we definitely support. The other part of that review, so we can't look at the number of councillors, but we can look at how many people are on local boards. We can look at the boundaries of these areas. And there is a proposal to change boundaries of the ward council around. And the reason for that is that populations are getting out of control in some areas and staying reasonably the same in other areas. So it does create a bit of a distortion without going too much into kind of the policy wonkish kind of details. It's really about effective representation for everybody so that everybody gets a vote, the single vote in Auckland, and gets fairly equal representation on that council governing body. So we're looking at that at the moment. That's going to those sorts of proposals are going to go to the public soon. So I can't really go into too much detail about that. But just watch this space because it's really interesting stuff. And a part of that as well, obviously, is looking at local boards and whether we have one big local board for Henderson Massey or where we have subdivisions. And wherever you're listening to this in Auckland, you will have a local board that represents you. And you might want to see whether you are being represented fairly in your opinion or whether you would like to change things around a bit. And that kind of depends on your own place and your own circumstances. But safe to say, there will be a chance for you to come out and say, hey, hang on, we should do it this way. That'll be coming out soon. That about wraps us up here. I hope you've enjoyed the show. There's plenty of things to talk about in the universe of progressive politics, and a lot of exciting stuff to kind of celebrate. I'd just like to take us out by sort of paying tribute to the excellent results that have come out recently. And thank you so much for listening, everybody. Tēnā koe.
get together next week at 9:05 a.m. Or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/redalertradio.